This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan, and Noel Lim. And in about half an hour, we've got The Breakfast Grill, where Wong Xiaoning will be speaking to Dennis Martin, CEO of Citos. Noel, what should we expect on that grill?
Citos is one of only three companies registered with Bank Negara to access credit data of individual customers. So in that sense, it's a bit like a duopoly or some sort. You can go to Citos online, obviously, to check your credit scores. So that's one of the services they offer. And it's owned by Creador, the private equity firm. And obviously, Creador sees a lot of potential in Citos. And I think it's looking at positioning itself as a long-term investor.
Yeah, so some of the things that we'll be taking a look at, I guess, is what distinguishes Citos from its competitors. And in this age of, we hear a lot about security breaches, how safe is the data? So expect to hear some of this later at about 8 a.m. after the news bulletin, where Xiaoning will be speaking to Dennis Martin, CEO of Citos. But right now, we're taking a look at what is the biggest event in the Democratic primaries in the U.S. yet? Super Tuesday, which wrapped up on Wednesday afternoon in Malaysian time, and 14 states headed to the polls to pick their candidate they'd like to represent them in the represent their party against President Donald Trump in November. Election watchers paid attention to Super Tuesday because it gives them an indication of momentum, and because it tends to be effective at narrowing the field of candidates.
So looking at the results, Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, he won 9 out of 14 states. So he's on the lead as a Democratic Party candidate. And this is followed by Bernie Sanders, who won California, but lost out, 8 out of the remaining 13 states. And, I guess of interest is Michael Bloomberg. He ended his bid after a costly few weeks, but I'm sure it's just small change for him. And he is endorsing Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think he reportedly spent $500 million on advertising and groundwork leading up to this primary, which was the first time he was on the ballot. And so now it seems, how much is this endorsement worth to Joe Biden? Elizabeth Warren also had a poor showing and lost to Biden in her home state of Massachusetts, and which is quite concerning, and we're going to find out how that affects her going forward. So for more insights here, we speak to Professor Robert Shapiro, Professor of Government at Columbia University. Professor, former VP Joe Biden secured the most number of delegates and a lead, beating former frontrunner Bernie Sanders, who only managed to clinch 4 of the 14 states. What is your general impression of the results?
Well, there are two striking things. One is Joe Biden's campaign has been resurrected and has come to life in a very big and strong way. He's leading at the moment. He has momentum going forward. With Bloomberg out of the race, Bloomberg was clearly taking voters away from him in the upcoming states based on the pre-election polls. And not only did Bloomberg leave the campaign, but he endorsed Biden, and that should send a strong signal to his supporters to vote for Biden going forward, in the same way that Amy Klobuchar sent a strong signal to her supporters so that Biden was able to win in Minnesota. The other important thing that occurred, especially with Klobuchar and Buttigieg leaving the campaign and now Biden, is that the campaign now is down to a two-candidate race, which means that one candidate will, in the end, get a majority of delegates to win the nomination on the first ballot at the convention. The one uncertainty at the moment is what will happen with Elizabeth Warren. And the big question is, will she stay in, or will she leave the campaign and tell her supporters to support Bernie Sanders, who at least as we've seen, looks like he is much more ideologically similar to her. Or will she back Biden for purposes of creating a unified party? And that's what's up in the air right now.
Assuming if Elizabeth Warren backs Sanders, is Biden still certain to be the Democratic candidate?
It's not clear. It depends on what the numbers look like, in particular states. I think going forward, even with Warren's support, I think Biden will still have the edge. But either way, the Democratic Party could be in a very big bind in the sense that they need to come out of this process unified going forward against Donald Trump. And at the moment, the Democratic Party is split in very clear ways between the supporters of Sanders and Biden. They differ ideologically and they differ demographically.
So on that note, in your view, do either Sanders or Biden have an edge against President Trump if either one of them goes into November polling?
Well, the pre-election polls that have been done show that either candidate would have a chance of beating Trump in terms of the national vote. But the election isn't going to be decided on the national vote. It's going to be decided in particular states, and in particular, specifically Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, all of which the Democrats have to take, assuming both parties win the same other states they won in the last election. And I think in those states, Biden, based on some polling data that we've seen already, would do better than Sanders.
And if it's and outside of Sanders and Biden, does polling show anyone else who has an edge over President Trump?
Well, a number of the other candidates had an edge, not as big an edge as Sanders and Biden did. But the truth is that when the campaign started, any of the Democrats would have had a chance of defeating Trump if the party would unify strongly around them. And that's a big if at the moment, and this is the question the party is going to face at the convention, whether it's Biden supporters having to support Sanders or Sanders' supporters having to support Biden. But what the party needs to avoid is what happened in 2016 when a lot of Sanders voters were alienated and didn't support Hillary Clinton in the way that she needed in order to win the election.
After a poor showing on Super Tuesday, including losing in her home state, where does this leave Elizabeth Warren?
I think it really does leave Elizabeth Warren out of the picture. Bloomberg saw that he was only able to exceed 15% of the vote in four states and gain delegates. Elizabeth Warren did worse than Bloomberg did in that respect. And so the number of delegates she would have going into the convention would be trivial, I think, at this point. And her only road to the presidency would be a contested convention where she might come out as a consensus choice. But that looks extraordinarily unlikely right now.
Now, Robert, it's still early days yet, but for the front runners of this of the Democratic race, who do you think both Biden and Sanders might pick as their running mates for vice president, and who would be added value to their tickets?
Well, in terms of appealing to segments of the electorate that the candidates have only weak support from at the moment, in the case of Biden, he's basically in need of more support among younger voters and Latinos, which suggests that someone like Julian Castro could be useful. On the other hand, he might also want to solidify further his support among African American voters and other voters and go with Kamala Harris. And with respect to Bernie Sanders, his weakness right now is among mainstream Democrats, women, and especially among African Americans. And I think there, Kamala Harris would be an appealing choice in that respect.
All right. And on that note, thank you so much for joining us today, Robert. And that was Professor Robert Shapiro from Columbia University breaking down the results of Super Tuesday and his thoughts going forward for the candidates. So it really looks Bloomberg is out of it. Senator Elizabeth Warren is all but out. And it's coming down to Vice President Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders.
So looking at some positive points, what Joe Biden brings to the table, I think many see him as taking a very moderate position. And his association with former President Barack Obama does put him in a good position. After all, Obama was quite popular. But some would argue that you should fight populists with populists, that is Bernie Sanders. But looking at the economy, I think just what Biden stands for, he wants higher taxes on corporations and the rich. But, you know, having said that, he's less dramatic and less radical in, you know, trying to change businesses, far less radical than Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. So at this point, Biden is more popular among the markets, but really, I think Trump, on the other hand, is for lower taxes, right? So I think I'm not sure how the debate eventually what will it come down to? Will it be about taxes?
Yes, and it's an interesting conversation to have, whether you need a populist to fight a populist or whether you can have a pragmatist fight a populist. There are both, and I guess it will come down to, we'll find out in November, see who gets the best of each other. But we must not discount the incumbent strength that President Donald Trump has. And considering the fact that the economy is doing well, the U.S. economy in all respects is doing well.
One thing to highlight, though, Biden's experience potentially could also work against him. If you recall, I think his son, Hunter Biden, who has ties to a Ukrainian gas company, Burisma. So these things might, you know, surface again and continue to haunt him.
And we'll be paying attention to the US election as it goes on. But right now, we're going to a few messages. And up next, we'll be speaking to James Chin, director of the Asia Institute from University of Tasmania, on local politics and how Gabungan Parti Sarawak fits in the Perikatan National Coalition. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.